yesterday we took a look at Ephesians 5:21 through 33. We specifically looked at the portion of the passage that looked at the responsibility of a woman in a marriage. Well, we talked about that passage and we said that Paul, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, called us, both the man and the woman, to mutually submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We said this was a gender-neutral passage and that unity is the key among believers, and through unity in a marriage, we glorify God's name. We then looked at how Paul addressed women and told them to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord. And we said, based on a historical perspective, we had to ask the question, why would Paul say that a woman needs to submit to a man since she was seen as inferior and was already submitting to a man because she had no choice? Well, we talked about that scholars suggest that the submission that is mentioned in this passage is about women having a submissive attitude towards her husband just as they do towards Christ. That this does not mean that a woman is a doormat, but instead that through mutual submission that the man and the woman can build a solid foundation on which to build their marriage and to raise children. Well, today we're going to take a look at how husbands are supposed to behave according to the scripture. Everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of the body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you almost also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Well, let me stop here for a minute and say, first, let's all think back at a time when God opened our eyes and required us to make a paradigm or a cultural shift. You know, it's not easy because our beliefs have been encoded in our brain based on our family beliefs, our own personal experiences, and certainly our cultural experiences. So God's word is often radical. He asks us to open our eyes to see what is true and good and how we need to change. It convicts us, God's word does, when we need to make changes in our lives that will bring glory to his name. Now, the interesting thing about this is that God is not asking us to make these changes because it will harm us, though it may make us uncomfortable. He's asking us to make these changes to help us so that we can become more Christ-like. Well, in this passage, Paul is asking men to make a paradigm change, a cultural shift that would really turn the man's thinking upside down. So keep that in mind as we start to look at this scripture. Let's begin by looking at Ephesians 5:23, and it reads, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is Savior." Now, as a church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Well, Dr. Belazikian, who is a well-known scholar, in his book Beyond Sex Roles, writes about the term head that is used in Ephesians 5:23. He points out that we should not impose current meaning on ancient vocabulary. He says it would be very easy to assume that the head in the scripture means authority. But Belazikian points out that the ancient Greek, as well as in many contemporary languages, head does not carry that meaning. He states that instead the term head translated in the English would be better expressed servant provider or life giver. He states that when you read throughout the New Testament, the headship of Christ to the church is defined as a relationship of servant and a provider. Therefore, the same meaning then needs to prevail in regard to the headship of husbands to their wives. So just as we see Christ as servant provider or life giver as the head of the church, husband needs to understand that he should be servant provider or life giver to his wife. Belazikian also points out that Ephesians 5:23 reads, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior." Now, what he wants you to focus on is Savior. Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. If this scripture was intended to imply rulership or authority, Belazikian said it would not have read, "of which he is the Savior," but would have read, "of which he is the Lord." Because Savior defines a headship in terms of servanthood and not as a ruler, while Lord defines it as a sense of a ruler. So, if we were to go back to the ancient Greek, Belazikian would suggest that the scripture should read like this: "For the husband is the servant provider or life giver of the wife, as Christ is the servant provider or life giver of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior." Now that may be a new thought to some of you, and I have read both sides of the argument. And of course you can see that I'm coming down on the side of Dr. Belazikian's argument that the head means servant provider or life giver. However, maybe you agree with the other side, but the point I would like to make is if the husband would treat his wife as Christ instructs, and love his wife as Christ loved the church, then the woman would not even be questioning submission because she would see how much that her husband loves her. Another commentator pointed out that Paul is not commanding the husband to lead their wives, but to love their wives. Paul writes that Christian husbands need to follow two role models when it comes to loving their wives. They need to love their wife as Christ loved the church. And Christ loved the church so much that he was willing to make his ultimate sacrifice, and that was to die for her. And as men who are married or contemplating getting married, do you love your wife that much? Are you willing to love her enough that you would give your life for her? Paul also says, "Love your wives as you love your own bodies." When we love someone as we love ourselves, it changes our whole approach towards that person. Because just as we would not harm ourselves physically or emotionally, then husbands, you're not to do that to your wives. Now think about this. This was radical, what Paul said, because it meant that Christian men in the first century should no longer look at their wives as possessions, a resource, something to take advantage of or to ill-treat. Because a sane man would not want to mistreat himself, and he is opposed to treat his wife the same way as he treats himself. Paul also directs men in verse 31 to leave their father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Now, for the Jewish man, this would not have been necessarily a new concept, because it states in Genesis 2:24, "Therefore, a man should leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they should become one flesh." So it speaks of the husband and wife being so closely aligned that you cannot see the needs of your own mate separate from your own because you are blended as one. And once again, this would have been countercultural to a patriarchal society where the marriage was viewed by many as a contractual agreement, and the woman was viewed as inferior. Dr. Belazikian also writes about this. He says, according to Genesis 2:24 and then again in Ephesians 5:31, that the marital bond is designed by God to take precedence over concern for the cohesion of a man's original family. He is allowed to break away from the parental circle to establish a new independent relationship. According to this text, the parent's role remains passive. The man takes the initiative to remove himself from his parents. He goes to his bride and joins her in the marital bond. The man's freedom of action in moving away and making his own choice does not reflect a family's organization dependent of a father ruler. under a strictly patriarchal system, the father ruler would be the one making those decisions. The new couple would be aggregated to the patriarch's family, and it would remain under his authority. The independence enjoyed by the man in marrying and forming a separate one-flesh entity argues against a patriarchal structure of the family as God's intent for the pre-fall economy of creation. Now, Belezekian does not mean that a man or a woman should abandon their mother and father. You still should respect and love them. But when you get married, you need to recognize that you are starting your own family. You are to build a unified, cohesive relationship with your wife, and you're to become your own entity. That's what God has said that we should do. Well, then the next question maybe is more of a practical question. Well, what does it look like to love your wife? Well, I can speak best about what it looks like to me in my marriage. I have a husband who's always been sure enough about who he is that he lets me be who I am. He's been my greatest supporter. He's not always trying to change me. I know that he would physically give his life for me or my daughter, and he would do all that he could to support us. He's always been kind to my daughter and to me. He's never been rough. He doesn't say unkind things to me, but neither does he let me walk all over him because I can, as I pointed out earlier, can be a strong-willed woman. So I know the look when I need to back off. Just as I asked some of the men what a loving wife looks like to them, I asked some of the ABCU women what it looks like when a man loves them. And this is what they said to me. He cherishes you. He shows concern and takes care of your needs. And he cares if something happens to you. He spends time with you. He remembers your birthday and anniversary. He gives you gifts. He tells you he loves you and encourages you. At the end of a telephone conversation, he says, "I love you." He has a sweet nickname for you. He does anything to please you. He asks if you are up or down. He is concerned about your well-being. He helps you with things such as your homework. His facial expression is kind and loving. He hugs you and gives you a sweet kiss. He talks to you with respect, not harsh, but moderate. He consults you before he makes decisions. He doesn't hide anything from you. He provides your needs. Men, did you hear how many times in there it was about love? And if you remember, men are more about respect. Well, gentlemen, the scripture uses 8.5 verses to explain how important your role is as a male in the marriage. You are to love your wife as yourself. You're to be your wife's servant, provider, and life giver as Christ was to the church. By the way, remember the time before I was telling you about my colleague who had invited me to her daughter's wedding and how some of my friends were making fun of this Egyptian Coptic wedding ceremony where the priest directed the bride to submit to her husband? Evidently, they had their ears closed to the preceding part of the service because the priest said to the groom, "My blessed son, may the grace of the Holy Spirit strengthen you to take unto yourself your wife in purity of heart and in sincerity. Do all that is good for her. Have compassion on her, and always hasten to do that which will gladden her heart. Take care of her as her parents did in love and humility, remembering that you have been crowned with heavenly crowns and confirmed by the grace of God. Remember that if you fulfill the divine commandments, which urge you to look after your wife, the Lord will bless you in all you do, because his blessing is enjoyed by those who live in harmony." Now, gentlemen, what woman wouldn't want to submit to a husband who fulfilled those promises? Podcast music by Maya Filippic, Between Two Worlds, July 18th, 2011. via Jamendo.com, Creative Commons Attribution.